So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network. I tell you, all is good in the world today. Yes, yes, yes it is. We've got so many things going on as usual. Nothing ever stops around this joint. But without further ado, we must start with, hello, Mr. Martin. How are you, sir?
Well, hello, free man.
Yeah, I hear you. They say the truth will set you free. Well, of course, here it is 8 months later. They tried to delay, did all they could to keep me out, cost me a bunch of money, put me in all kinds of stuff you can possibly imagine. But then we go to court today, finally, all the way up till about noon today. These guys were still trying to find a way to make me succumb to their will. The court was at 1 o'clock. The trial was supposed to start at 1 o'clock, and we walked in the door at 1 o'clock, and they decided they was going to go ahead and dismiss all charges. Now, they could have done this 8 months ago, which was the right thing to do. No, instead, they've got to cost me money, time, who knows, man. But anyway, there is justice, but you got to be willing to stand firm and not be allowed to be intimidated and manipulated by some of these kooks. And that's exactly what happened in my case. So, yes, I am a free man, and that's the way it is. And we'll just have to see what happens going forward with this. Ed, I tell you what, it really is. The justice system sometimes is a joke. They get it right eventually. They really do. They get it right eventually, but sometimes it's a joke what some of these clowns will do. Yeah. You know, it's just totally amazing to me. But there are going to be two options.
You got to wonder sometimes if it's a racket. I mean, all the lawyers know the judges know the lawyers, cops know the lawyers, everybody knows everybody. So it's like, why settle early up? Why would somebody dare throw their arms, hands up in the air and go, you know what, this is a bad move. Let's just let it go. It's like, no. Oh, the defense lawyer, whether you love them or hate them, they're like, no, I think we ought to, you know, let's think about this a little longer. And you know?
Well, what's really the case was with me is, I mean, this is This is definitely going to be a federal court case. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure I'm going to go forward with a civil trial, with a civil suit. There's no doubt about this. This is definitely a federal court case. It's going to involve all the hierarchy. You know, but it's really fascinating because all this was about was these guys were worried about money. So they thought if they just starved me out, if they kept me hanging, if they kept me in the system and did all these stupid things, that I would eventually cave and save them money for what they're going to lose in a civil suit. That's all this was. I mean, when they talked to my attorney this morning, you know, one of the first questions they asked him was, you know, how much is it going to cost to go away was the first thing they've been asking all along. What's it going to take to make it go away? And we told him we're not going to stipulate to anything. And then ultimately he asked him this morning, you know, when my attorney said, we'll see you at 1 o'clock and one of two things is going to happen. He's either going to be found not guilty or you're going to have to dismiss the case, one of the two. You know, and immediately they said, well, the problem is there's going to be a civil suit. So they're already expecting me to file a civil suit, and that's what this has been about for 8 months. In the meantime, they've cost me an opportunity to work, to make a living, all the other things that go with that. You know, they inconvenienced my family. It's just incredible what we've had to go through, all because of some rogue cop on a power trip. And this guy is going to be sued as well on a personal level. He does not have immunity like he thinks he does. I can already prove that. So all this is by design. For what? For what? What did they hope to accomplish by creating this? Because now they've created a nightmare. They've created damages. They've done everything wrong you could possibly do. And then this was a relatively easy case. So I can't go into a lot of detail on the case or anything else, but let's just say, suffice it to say that, you know, justice has prevailed. This show will continue with me hosting instead of you guys having a co-host for a year. And
make jokes about you every day.
You know, there you go. And by the way, I noticed you posted on Facebook you were taking bets on what prison gang I was going to be a part of. I've got to be honest with you, Ed. I was taking the same bets. I figured once I was there, it would be insider info, but they sure as hell couldn't put me in jail again, could they? So, you know, I was doing the same thing, hedging my bets, man, trying to make money. You know, you got to buy them cigarettes, keep convicts happy. Anyway, here we go, man. We've got to move on. We've got so many things to talk about tonight. One of the best local things. Here in Kentucky is news that came out of the Lexington Herald-Leader. You can go to Kentucky.com for this. But I love it. Former Ag Commissioner Richie Farmer, former UK basketball sweetheart, who's dumb as rocks and can't do anything, so he took his UK basketball fame all the way to government, finally was charged. He got charged with 42 counts of violating the state ethics law. It is the most ever number of violations ever filed, any counts, against an individual by the Executive Branch Ethics Commission. What do you think about this?
Well, I think he's not too bright. I'm not sure Richie Farmer was like one of these manipulative, sociopathic type of people that, you know, as we know, they're in government. There are people who figure out how to build the system.
Mm-hmm.
And do it quasi-legally, and do it for a lot more than he got. I mean, he got some, you know, some medium-quality hunting rifles and things like that, you know. This stuff, it's just nothing great. I think he just, got into government, and not too bright, thought this is a pretty cool racket you got here. Yeah, like I say, there are people that, and there have been cases in Kentucky that involve millions upon millions of dollars, and you know, apparently they found 42 instances where Richie took little stuff.
What's clear here is, I mean,
if you're going to break the law, you're going to go bankrupt, you're going to do something bad, go big, man. make a $1 million land deal or if you, you know, whatever. Make it big.
What's really fascinating here? If this was a Democrat, do you think there'd be 42 charges?
No.
I mean,
that's
the thing. Exactly. And that's the thing for me. I have no doubt in my mind that Richie Farmer is guilty of most of this, if not all the counts against him. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I have no love lost because Richie Farmer just happens to be a Republican, and I'm supposedly a registered Republican, so I've got this blind faith. I don't have that. Richie Farmer is just indicative of what is wrong in government today. These 42 counts against Farmer would not be held against a Democrat. As we know, through history here in this state, we don't see these Democrats charged with this stuff, but they'll do everything they can. Richie Farmer had the audacity to run with David Williams against Steve Beshear, everybody's favorite Democrat, him and his buddy Jerry Abramson, and so they're going to hold him accountable for it. But, you know, that doesn't mean that Farmer didn't do this. Farmer needs to be held accountable. But my hope at this time is if the Democrats are going to go this far out on a limb and go after Richie Farmer, who basically is meaningless in the grand scheme of things for anything at this point, then they need to make sure they start doing this across the board and holding everybody accountable. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Farmer is going to be, they're going to initiate administrative proceedings, which is what they call it when you start this stuff, against Farmer. Each one of these counts is up to a $5,000 fine for each violation. It's the same situation exactly and the same court and the same everything that I went through with the Kings, okay? And what happens here is they're basically charged him with misuse of state employees. I mean, we have one documented report that's been verified that Richie Farmer sent a state employee out on company time, our tax dollars, to pick up a deer that he killed, okay? We've got misuse of state resources, clearly, improper use of grants, and improper use of Kentucky Proud marketing funds. He was taking this money and spending it for personal expenses. We also know about his girlfriend and everything else. And, oh, by the way, there's going to be, I believe it was seven other people, who are going to be charged as well. They have been charged through the State Department of Agriculture for ethics violations. And the final person who was charged with this was Richie Farmer's own sister, who actually works for the KREF. And that's what's alarming to me there. Richie Farmer's sister works for the Kentucky Registry of Election Finance. These are the same people who we trust to hold politicians accountable, which they did a half job with Jim King because they made it an unknowing violation versus knowing. But at least they found him guilty. And, you know, so this just goes to show you the politics involved in the office. What is his sister charged with? You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
This is great going forward, I think, and I think ultimately it's going to be good for all of us. Now, if we can just convince them that Democrats should be held accountable to the same standard, I think we'll be in a better place. Let's go to the phone real quick.
Well, I think it has a little to do with Democrat, Republican, because, you know, Jack Conway doesn't go after Democrats very often, if ever. But the thing that, I think as much of it has to do with Richie's just not real bright. I think he just goofed up. I think he just goofed up. He did. He took the direct route, and unlike you're supposed to, or you know that we've read, since we haven't actually seen in politics, you know you're supposed to cut as many people in on it as you can, so that you know when if it falls apart, you know you got a bunch of people that you could take down with you, and those people they got your back at that point. So apparently Richie just you know he took stuff for himself and didn't cut other people in on it, because if he did and anybody at the governor's office, the attorney general's office, if he'd have gone on a fishing trip on the taxpayer dime with somebody like Greg Thumbo, would not be an issue. They'd find a way, they'd all hold hands, close ranks, and they'd say, well, this investigation has gone quite far enough, folks, and that's where it was.
Sure. They would have that kumbaya moment I always talk about. Let's go to the phones. I believe this is Andy. Is this our good friend Andy?
Hey. Yes, sir. Good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Not too bad. How are you, sir?
I heard you talking. It seems like your legal problems are starting to come to some finality. That's good.
Well, we got one part of it final. Now we'll spend the next 2 years holding them accountable for being stupid. I know that's how long it's going to take. So, but we're in good shape now.
Well, that's good. Another thing, now I got a question because I don't know. Didn't Richie Farmer, didn't the Game and Wildlife Commission come up under ag here in Kentucky?
Did they come up under what? I'm sorry.
Didn't the Fish and Wildlife and Game people answer to him too?
No.
They didn't.
No. Kentucky Department. Go ahead. They're a different agency. Go ahead.
So they didn't answer to him because I was listening to this. I used to listen to this guy on a regular on 840, and he was talking about how these guys were just selling elk tags and all kind of disrespect. And it sounds so familiar to what you're talking about with this farmer guy.
Well,
and
that, it, your probably talking about a case. I actually put out a couple of stories a couple of years ago. I actually went after the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife, and we had some success in Frankfort with a couple of bills that went forward there to get some accountability. But the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife, that's another one. You got to look at John Gassett and a few other people. So they're corrupt as hell, too, in my opinion, but they'll never be held accountable because Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife is not an elected body. All the members of the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife are appointed by the governor. So everybody that Steve Beshear and all these other guys have put in there, these are their own people. Their board, their commissioner, everything is all appointed by the governor. So the governor has 100% control over that. So when the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife is corrupt, in my opinion, by proxy, that means Governor Steve Beshear is corrupt. But nobody will hold them accountable. Nobody will hold them accountable.
When they do it, they do it smarter. And there's enough people in on it that somebody's always got your back. And you got people that will either have selective memory or they'll lie to back your story up.
Well, they definitely got their own way of doing things. I mean, it was comical because John Gassett, the commissioner, John Gassett, I mean, this guy was so bold as to go out and have his own company to bring people in to do trails or whatever, hunting and things like that. He was giving away these elk tags to the same people every year when you're not allowed to do that by law. All of these things were extremely serious issues, and we did everything we could. We've done what we can. We've done a really good job so far trying to get them accountable. They've still got a lot of problems, but we have made progress. And actually, I've got to point out one thing too. A gentleman by the name of Ballard Rogers, out of Prospect, he did a really good job outlining a case against them. And he actually went after KDFWR. And you can go to my website at edspringster.com on my personal blog. But he actually filed ethics charges against John Gassett and the KDFWR. Not much happened. But, Gassett's got a lot of problems. He's got a side business with Southern Wildlife and a few other things at that time in 2010. I haven't really spent much time on him the last year or two. But, yeah, the KDFWR has a lot of problems, Andy. There's no doubt about that. Looks like Andy has had a drop. Ed, this is, for me, we continue seeing all these ethical problems. We continue seeing, I'm curious to see what happens to Richie Farmer here. Because, as we know, everything else when it comes to Jim King, Katie King, we've got a sitting judge who bought the election with no repercussions. That's alarming. It doesn't matter what kind of job she's doing on a bench. And quite frankly, from what I understand, Katie's doing a pretty good job on the bench. But it's not what you do once you get there. It's how you get there that bothers me. And, but we've seen so many things. Steve Henry got off with a slap on the wrist. Jake Payne over at Page One Kentucky. I don't normally like to mention his name. But, Jake Payne over at Page One Kentucky, he did a fantastic job laying out the Steve Henry mess. Give credit where it's due. And Steve Henry got a slap on the wrist. So all these Democrats continue getting slaps on the wrist, don't really have to pay a price for these violations. I'm curious to see how deep they're going to go with Richie Farmer, because Richie Farmer is flat out broke. Last I heard, he's selling used cars somewhere at home.
I think they'll come up with some kind of settlement. They'll for each count, and they'll want to hang as many counts on him as they can. Sure. They'll settle, because like I said, Richie is not. He's not, let's just be honest, he's not an asshole like Rob Blagojevich or something. He's green is what he is. He's green, he's just a little green at this game. And he's a sympathetic guy. I mean, I probably wouldn't like him, but he'd probably be good. I'd enjoy him as a neighbor. He's just not a real complicated, not a real sinister guy. He took advantage of the situation, probably thought, everybody does this, right? Yeah, everybody does. But they do it a little more on the down. So I think he's sympathetic, so he's not going to do any time, and I don't think the fines are going to be such that they're going to destroy him, any worse than his divorce and everything already has.
Well, I tell you, Ed, because when it came to the Jim King case, I was able to get the highest fine in Kentucky history against Jim and Katie King. The total was $30,000 between the both of them. And they only had three or four counts against them. This is 42, and each one of them carries up to $5,000. This could be the highest in Kentucky history that probably won't be matched in any kind of future going forward if Richie is found guilty of more than four or five counts. What's also interesting here, though, is once again, what I see right now is I see Adam Edelin. He's a Democrat who's state auditor that took over for Crit Llewellyn. He's had to be involved in this because he's the one that has to do all the audits on this to find out where the money went. You've got Jamie Comer, the new ag commissioner, who begged for that audit as soon as he took office so he couldn't be tied to Ricky Farmer. What I'm seeing here, though, is some of these guys, Jamie Comer is a young guy, Adam Edelin's a young guy, both on opposite sides of the political fence, but both working together to try to clean up one department. I see that as a plus going forward. For where we're headed in the future with politics. We got to get rid of these dead dogs like Steve Beshear and those guys. But I think once we do, we actually have a shot at doing something great here. And I think those two guys, maybe I'm wrong, but so far I've been very impressed with both of them, one Democrat, one Republican. So I think in the big picture, that's probably really looking good for us. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. Seems like the Ashley Judge star is dimming a little bit, so I'm like, you know, when you talk about Democrats and Republicans, look, I'm almost looking forward to Allison Lundgren and Grimes. Yeah, giving it a serious go. I think it'll be more substantive if she goes against Mitch, but yeah, I can't say which one I'd go for, but yeah.
I don't think anybody's Republican now, so
I guess I got to go Mitch, but you know, I definitely, when in an election, I like substance above style, and that's what was driving me nuts. But yeah, I think Comer and Adam Edelin, you know, especially now with things like, since they share that common thread that they're trying to root out corruption, I think they're both gonna stay on that wavelength. You know, one's not gonna go, you know, protecting the good old boys while the other maintains his crusader status. So, who knows? Maybe they'll both stay crusaders and they'll out crusade each other. You know, and try to out. Out clean it, you know, each one's going to try to one-up the other when it comes to outdoing, you know, to cleaning up government, which, you know, hey, that'd be a hell of a competition to have, guys.
Well, I'm totally with you. I'm really, really looking forward to this going forward. I really am. I want to see what happens with Richie. And, you know, I mean, we're getting ready to move on to other topics, but, you know, Richie Farmer, truthfully, though, he reminds me of the politicians who have been lifelong career politicians, like Jerry Abramson, Democrat, you know, Steve Beshear, Democrat, all these other lifelong politicians like Greg Stumbo. I don't think that Richie Farmer was that dumb. I think Richie Farmer, you know, we often talk about the entitlement mindset for people who are using government, you know, funds and stuff like that, whether it's food stamps, Section 8, all these generations, people have gotten to the point where they feel like they're entitled to this and don't have to do anything. You know, you got to realize, for Richie Farmer, that's been a lifelong deal. I mean, as soon as he started making three-pointers as a young kid, and he made his name and fame, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, at the University of Kentucky, this kid has had everything handed to him on a silver platter. He's never had to do anything for it. And I think for him to go out and do what he's being accused of, if these allegations are proven true, I think that's a great example of the mindset of those people in government who feel entitled. And I think that Richie Farmer is just one more example of it. But speaking of entitled, man, we've got to move on to this story, because I got to tell you, this one was alarming. I read a story about Rand Paul, Republican Senator Rand Paul, our senator here in Kentucky. I read a story in the Courier-Journal that was sent to them from Erica Warner of the AP. The Courier-Journal prints a lot of AP stories. They don't do their own work on that. They just reprint. But Rand Paul was accused in this story of saying that he was endorsing a pathway to citizenship for the reported 11 million illegal immigrants. Now, this is the same Rand Paul who said he didn't believe that we should provide citizenship for these illegal immigrants. So the AP puts this story out. Lo and behold, turns out, as usual, it's a lie. It's a lie. Rand Paul, this afternoon, went out and told the whole world, no, that's not what he said. He didn't use the word citizenship at all. What he said was, I'm not going to force people to go home, but they're going to be forced to get in line just like everybody else is. Now, why would the AP put something out like that and open themselves up to that kind of ridicule?
Well, on one hand, you've got a reporter that's got an agenda to push. So, but on the other, again, I think they're lazy. I think they hear things, you know, they get a mindset going. They get a soundbite in their head. If somebody says something remotely like what they think they thought they hear, then that's what they run with. That's what they hear. They got a filter going. And you know what? I've been that way a long time. You know, I've said, hey, it's almost impossible to send 11 million back. Some of them definitely need to go back. But yeah, convert them to at least legal work visas or something. The system needs to be changed because it's obviously not working. You know, I'm with Rand on that. I'm with Rand on a lot of things. You know, and I look and I hear a lot of neocons and hardliners saying, oh, no, you know, Reagan did that. Reagan did amnesty. And look what happened. It's like, well, you know, my response to that is like, you know, that was a long time ago. And I think we've learned from the mistakes that we made. So, you know, if we haven't learned from the mistakes, yeah, you have a valid point. If we're capable of learning from the mistakes that, you know, what did and did not work, then you know what? It's something we can look at. We got to look at modifying it because it's archaic and it's obviously not working.
Well, it's fascinating to me because the AP decided to take this position based on a speech that Rand Paul gave to the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And what it basically said was this: let's start that conversation by acknowledging we aren't going to deport the millions already here. Okay, that's not saying citizenship, folks.
Hello,
goes on to say,
hello, you know what that is? Hey, welcome to the real freaking world, people.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly
yeah.
it. He goes on to say, prudence, compassion, and thrift all point us toward the same goal, bringing these workers out of the shadows and into becoming and being taxpaying members of society. Nowhere does this say a path of citizenship. He's giving them an opportunity to find a path to being a legal immigrant versus an illegal immigrant, which means they have to go on the same line that everybody else does to come to this country. Nobody has one problem with legal immigration in this country. But right now, illegal immigrants are a serious threat to our nation overall, including national security. I mean, we've got to look at this. If they can't meet the current requirements, all right, the current requirements for immigrants is not being enforced, not being updated. When we look at what the costs are, we're looking at welfare, medical care. Let's look at English as a second language in schools, for goodness sake. You know, for illegal immigrants, we're paying billions of dollars just to educate illegal immigrants. You know, we're taking all of this money, we're screaming about not having enough money to take care of Americans and doing what we have to do, and we're spending billions each year on a problem that we shouldn't have. Now, what Ron Paul goes on to say is, once you take these subsidies away, once you cut off welfare, medical care, and all these other things that illegal immigrants are enjoying today, for one thing, the problem will become far less common, and he's absolutely right. You take away the gimmies, you're not going to come here because you're not going to get something for nothing anymore. You know, and then he goes on to talk.
At least the ones who are coming for that will stop coming for that, and the ones that will come are the ones that are willing to, you know, work.
Mm-hmm.
Obey the law and
Send
money back home. You know?
Sure, and
that's
those people,
what most of them do.
And those people would typically take the legal immigration route anyway. You know, and he goes on to say that he supports local solutions to illegal immigration as protected by the 10th Amendment. Very important here, folks. And he also says that he supports making English the official language of all documents and contracts. Nowhere in this speech can I find anything about this so-called path to citizenship or any of these other things that everybody's crying about. So this was just an agenda by, you know, a runaway left-leaning media outlet. There's no other way to say that.
And it's a huge backfire because, you know, it's going to be vetted by the right-wing media.
Right, sure.
And it's somehow it's an attempt to try to not make him the darling of the conservatives. And once it's vetted, then it's going to be great. They might actually have screwed up because there might be a lot of liberals out there going, well, that's damn compassionate. That's like the Dream Act. All right. Well, yeah. You know, so they may have inadvertently got him some fans on the left that if they don't go back and find out what he really said, they're maybe thinking, oh, he's for immigration reform.
That's exactly it. And that's the whole thing. And that's the one thing that drives me nuts because, you know, there's a lot of people who believe everything they read in the paper. For some reason or another, they just believe everything. The paper would never lie. You know, but there's also a hell of a lot of people that can find 1,000 reasons not to like Rand Paul or anybody else that they don't want to like. But let's deal with facts and reality. If you don't want to like somebody, you disagree with their position, God bless America. But let's not have a runaway media who lies about that position you know, and not and not letting us make up our own minds. That's the one thing that drives me nuts about mainstream. They continue trying to make the news and be the news instead of reporting the news, and that really is a problem. We're going to take a quick break.
And the thing is, and it just goes to show how either arrogant or how lazy they are.
Oh, yeah.
In this age of social media, in this age of electronic media, if somebody has any doubts about it, they're going to go back and either watch the video or find the actual transcript or listen to the you know, the audio of whatever it is. They're going to go, wait, this supposedly credible, you know, is syndicated AP reporter is full of crap. You know?
Well,
and then of course, beware, because once again, that same social media, your story starts getting pasted all over with a writer or you know a headline on it, like, you know, AP gets story wrong again. And so it's like, really, guys, you gotta be. It's just like anything else. Either they're lazy, which is what I tend to think most of the time, or they're just really dense and arrogant, because guys, in this age, people will fact check you with a couple clicks of the mouse, and if they do, if they find out you blew it, then they will have no problem at all.
Well, that's for people
just
like me and you.
Out in front of everybody with a couple more clicks of the mouse.
Well, that's for people like me and you. I mean, we go out, we do the research, and we verify. You know, we don't just sit here and make up stuff and lie about it. You know, we verify and we put the truth out there. Let people make up their own mind. But the majority of people
making stuff up would be fun, though. You know.
Well, I agree with you there. I'd have a ball making. Man, I would have a ball making stuff up, but you know, we just can't realistically do that every day and have any credibility. And that's the bottom line. We want credibility. We don't want to sit here and make people, you know, distrust us, because then what are we? We don't have a business model. We don't have a business. We have a bunch of lying people, and that makes us, I don't know, a liberal. We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Ed Spencer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. And by the way, folks, phone lines are open, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And for you guys listening in a queue, thank you very much. But don't forget to hit that number 1 to let us know you want to talk. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
The government can.
Yes, we are back. Of course we're back. Welcome back to the Inspiration Show right here on the MVL Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com as well. I love that song, The Government Can't End. As you know, I play it in every damn episode, but I want people to hear it because it's the truth. Comedian Tim Hawkins wrote that song. You can catch that at timhawkins.net. I there's not a better song out there to explain what we're going through, in my opinion. Would you agree? Hello.
Hello.
Oh, there he is. Okay, didn't know if you heard anything I said, but that's okay. Let's go straight to the phones. I believe this might be our good friend Mayo. Let's see if I'm
that
right.
That it is.
Hot dog, how you doing, sir?
Oh, pretty good. Now, what was funny, you was talking about Rand Paul and he was on Hugh Hewitt correcting, you know, what the AP and everything was saying, because it wasn't just AP. I mean, they ran with it, Huffington Post, Washington, you know.
Right. It went all over the world, man. Everybody covered that.
Yes. It was interesting listening to him correct what was supposedly reported as news.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And you know what really fascinates me, too, and you know, I don't understand how or why nobody ever sues like Rand Paul. Now, I understand he's a public figure. He's an elected official, you know, but when somebody goes out there and clearly libels or slanders you the way that they do him, I don't know why they don't file a lawsuit against them. Really, truly. I mean, you're still an American. You've still got rights, even though you're elected. Is that correct?
Yep.
So why do they continue allowing that to happen? Because I just don't get that. And it's not just Rand Paul. There are all kinds of people to do that, and I just don't understand it.
Well, it's kind of part of the background.
I was thinking in this instance are gone.
Go ahead, Mayo.
Well, I mean, part of the, you know, like the backbone the other night, it's like the Republicans are afraid to disagree with somebody because I don't know if it's because the media is on the Dems and the Libs side, you know, or what. I think, you know, Rand Paul could actually stand above it if he were to file, like you were saying. I mean, I think he does have enough, I believe with his filibuster and that, you know, he proved his integrity, one in a long time.
Well, I think that's true. I think that's true. I mean, it doesn't really matter which media source you listen to anymore either, folks. I mean, this isn't, you know, the majority of the media, in my opinion, is left and liberal. But you have conservative places out there that are the same way. They're right and conservative. You know, so, I mean, you just got to make up your own mind. But the real truth is the media anymore has become just as divided, and it's a great way to see what's really wrong with America, because the media is as divided as America is. The media no longer reports news. The media decides they want to slant news to serve some kind of greater interest they have. Ed, you wanted to weigh in. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the media not only slants news, but I continually say I think they're just lazy. I don't think they, you know, I've seen everything from financial, you know, sections in papers to anything. They're just lazy. They write it in a very low level. They're basically, when you get into the print media, it's coupon delivery systems is what they are. Mm-hmm. And other, you know, the broadcast media is if it bleeds, it leads. But I think as to why he doesn't feel the need to sue is, you know, in a lot of cases you've got to show damages. But I think Mayo's right. He takes the high road, mm-hmm. so that, you know, that shows a level of class. But as I was saying earlier, there are ways to, you know, you don't have to always sue somebody, because in this day and age, you know, once they're proven wrong, you're going to go through an evisceration in online, because it's not like the old days. You had to control a radio station, you had to control a TV station, or you had to own a paper. Now anybody anywhere can do it, and like I say, with two or three clicks of a mouse, they can send it to their friends, and their friends send it to their friends, and it gets picked up by somebody else, gets picked up by blogging, and it spreads like wildfire. So, you know, he doesn't need to sue, because the discreditation, I guess you would say, of this reporter is going to be a form of more justice than any court over, you know, as you're probably about to find out, unfortunately, yeah. Over the course of two or three years, by the time everybody forgot about it. But no, the iron's hot, and this reporter is about to be humiliated.
Oh, I'm totally with you there. And by the way, I do know it's going to be a 2-year process minimum. I've been through that before with the whole Jim King fiasco, so I know it's going to take 2 to 3 years. It's just a way to delay the beast. That's the way they want it to be. But you know, but we've got mainstream media doing all this stuff, and you know, I don't understand why nobody holds them accountable. Even the people who they are libeling and slandering. It makes no sense to me. In the meantime, you know, we've got other nut jobs out there. You know, let's look at Elizabeth Warren. You know, we're talking so much about Rand Paul being misquoted and the liberal slant has their way. Well, we finally got a story out today. Elizabeth Warren is talking about, you know, she was making a case during the She spoke at the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions hearing last week, and she brought up a study that suggested that the federal minimum wage should be at nearly $22 an hour today if it had kept up with the rates of increased worker productivity. Now, I'm not going to sit here and slant this and say that Elizabeth Warren said that it has to be $22 an hour. Ultimately, I think what she's doing is she's trying to use this BS study to force us to raise the minimum wage once again. But I think it's interesting that she sits there and tries to make this case based on a $22 an hour minimum wage that we started in 1960. Can you imagine what a gallon of gas or a loaf of bread would cost at $22 an hour for minimum wage?
Oh, yeah. She's tying it to productivity, which, you know, that makes it sound like it's all the wage earner, not giving any weight to technology or you know, any kind of technological advances or automation type advances that increase productivity. It's like, oh, productivity's up. But yes, but it's different. You know, you used to have a guy turning the screw, and now you have a robot turning 20. It's not the same
thing. Well, that's
it.
Well, that's it. I mean, and that's the whole thing. Technology has taken most of these workers out, and most of these workers are standing around, you know, in a serious production line. You know, a lot of these guys are just pushing a button or things like that. It's not like they're actually turning the screw themselves. They're pushing a button and letting a robot do the work. But it's fascinating that we use this argument, because her part of that argument was she was trying to prove, based on this study, that flat minimum wage growth over the past 40 years, since 1960, okay, has what's brought about this surging inequality. You know, the poor getting poorer, the rich getting richer, all of this stuff. But she's not looking at things realistically. I mean, you know, she's trying to use this as saying raising the minimum wage isn't going to hurt the economy. Let's face facts here. I mean, let's look at the reality. $22 an hour is basically an average hourly rate for an auto employee, an auto worker. Somebody works in an assembly line at Ford Motor Company and makes about $26 an hour. Toyota, the same thing. But for all intents and purposes, let's just say it's $22 an hour based on her model. What does it cost you for a new truck today?
Yeah.
How many people can go out and spend $40,000 for a new truck? Even the people who are making the $22 an hour have a hard time spending the $40,000 for the new truck unless they don't have a house payment. I mean, you're talking $600-$700 a month for a vehicle payment. This isn't like the old days. It was in 1960. And that, to me, is alarming that we would even be bringing up this type of a conversation, because you're not allowing for the technology you just mentioned. You know, what are you doing here? You're not allowing for any of that. So I think
you're not allowing for the fact that you can buy a TV. You know, the technology also drives the price of stuff down, too. But if you stop and think about it, if somebody should have done some real quick math while Elizabeth Warren was going on about this, and so what you're saying is that a minimum wage worker, an entry level worker, a 17-year-old wet behind the ears kid, or call him 18, you know, well, 17, he can drop out of school at 17, still in Kentucky. A 17-year-old kid gets a 40-hour-a-week full-time job.
Working at McDonald's.
He's making $50,000 a year?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what she's saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the entry-level job?
That's exactly the
burger flipper, if he puts in a full 40-hour week?
Well, that's exactly it.
$50 a year?
and let's look at the other side of this. Because if minimum wage goes to $22 an hour, you're not going to have a guy working on a Ford Motor Company assembly line that's got the UAW union sitting there allowing him to work for $26. He's going to have to make $40 or $45.
Yeah.
You know, so now your vehicle went from $40,000 to $100,000 for a car, and your house just went from $100,000 on average to $200,000. So you're already behind the eight ball even further. Hey, Mayo, you're still with us, right?
Yeah, so I did just kind of interject something here real quick, and then
go ahead.
You throw me back in the queue. I believe what Andy was talking about, if I remember the story correctly, was didn't, you know, Richie Farmer was going hunting, borrowed a bunch of rifles from something.
Right.
And shot a deer out of a truck and some other things. I believe that's what Andy was referring to when he was.
He was. That's why I was telling him he had a state. Yeah, he had a state employee actually go pick up the deer for him. He didn't even get out of the vehicle to drag his own deer. He had one of the state employees do it. Yep, he was hunting on company time. You're absolutely right. You know, but I was going to tell you, Mayo. I mean, you know, I wonder how many people make $22 an hour if they're willing to pay $100 for a one-topping Papa John's pizza or something. Because that's what we're looking at. What do you think about that $22 an hour minimum wage? Is that going to help or hurt?
Yeah, well, it's going to hurt because, like you said, prices on everything are going to go up because the people are either they're A, going to have to let go of people to be able to afford to pay the minimum wage. So if you had a guy with 10 workers making $7.25 an hour and it goes to $10 an hour, well, if you're a small business owner, your option is, you know, fire one of the employees to be able to pay the other nine now, you know, the minimum wage. You know,
and then
because your product, if you try not to raise your price to stay competitive.
Yeah. Right.
And where I find people like Elizabeth Warren, I like a lot of what she's saying up on Capitol Hill. I really do. But she tends to make these stupid statements like this because, if I've always said, I'd debate her in a second, especially when she opens her mouth like this. Because at $22 an hour, at a full-time employee, automatically, as soon as he punches in, he doesn't, you know, like you say, wet behind the ears, 17-year-old high school dropout, $50,000 a year. This just goes to show that Elizabeth Warren is from academia and doesn't know dick about manufacturing. Because, sweetheart, when you just made every employee $50,000 large or more, you just brought the threshold up to where I'm going to have, as a business owner, I'm going to have to look at automation. Because, you know, if a guy's making half that, you know what? It's gonna be expensive to automate him out of a job, but it's gonna be a lot less expensive if he's making $50,000 to $75,000 a year.
Well, that's exactly it. So then you're gonna automate, right?
Yeah.
You're right. You know, I mean that's the whole thing. I mean, she goes on saying that if we started in 1960 and we assume that as productivity goes up, the workers are producing more, then a minimum wage is going to go up the same. If that's the case, then the minimum wage today would be about $22 an hour. And, you know, so she was speaking to Dr. Doobie, who's a University of Massachusetts professor, Amherst professor, you know, and so she asked me a question. She says, so my question is,
again,
with a minimum
wage. Professors.
Well, I mean, the thing
professors.
Is, you know, well, I agree. That's the whole thing. It's all academia. Because, you know, she goes on to say, so my question is, with a minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, what happened to the other $14.75? Well, you know, it sure didn't go to the workers, what she said. But see, that's the whole thing, because, you know, you just talked about it. Technology and automation, as productivity goes up, okay, we're not making products now. We're not producing products now. This whole economy has become a service economy. You move this box from this location on a shelf. You put it on this pallet. This pallet gets loaded onto a truck with a forklift. You got a truck driver who drives it from point A to point B. He drops that load off. They unload it with a forklift. An employee takes it off the pallet, puts it on a shelf, and it's sold to the consumer. I mean, that's it. It's a service economy, folks. That literally is about as simple as it gets.
Yeah, and look at the videos of Ford, Toyota, or any place. And we're both old enough to remember the videos of where they used to show a guy with a stick welder going, zip, putting your fenders and stuff on. Now you just lean in and do it.
And well, now it's all
right. In and they put them in almost instantaneously. It's like, so she doesn't understand that end of it. I mean, back in the day, it all just used to be pallet jacks and hand trucks. Now, pretty much everybody's got a forklift that can do the work of, you know, and easily, I might add, they can do tons more work. I mean, you look at heavy equipment. You look at trucks. Trucks are bigger now than they ever used to be. It's more powerful and more luxurious.
And you're pulling doubles and triples in a lot of places.
She just doesn't account for the technology in manufacturing and distribution, which, you know, she's academia. And I won't hold it against her too bad.
Well, I hold it against her quite a bit because, you know, the academia people are the ones who are sitting here, you know, making all these daggone decisions and they ain't got a clue. You know, if you're going to be an elected representative, for God's sake, at least have some real-world experience. Don't sit here and teach me from a book. Some of the worst CEOs I ever met in my life had college degrees. some of the smartest CEOs I ever met in my life, running lean, mean fighting machines, you know, didn't graduate eighth grade. So, you know, I mean, you've really got to look at that. We've got to start getting into the big picture. One other story I want to get into, too. I'm done beating on Elizabeth Warren for a minute. We got a couple other stories to get into real quick. There was an interesting story that came out today from Daily Finance. Now, you know, we talk a lot about mainstream, doesn't tell everybody the real deal here. Well, Daily Finance does a great job. DailyFinance.com, they do a great job of breaking down issues, savings and things like that. They deal primarily with finance, obviously. But they had an article that came out talking about extending the payroll tax cut through the end of last year. And what many people don't realize is, you know, we had an extended payroll tax cut through the end of last year that expired, clearly. We're paying out the wazoo. But it's fascinating because Congress last fall, actually in anticipation of these rates, I guess, they bumped up the rate at which federal employees have to contribute to their pension plan. So it supposedly saved an estimated $15 billion over the next 11 years. But that's really not much of a savings because the members of Congress made sure that none of these pension increases applied to them. None of these pension increases apply to them. Yep, you heard me right. So when we're sitting here, we're talking about Kentucky pensions and all these retirement pensions across the country. You know, even the federal workers, this plan that these congressmen have got, that would make any Fortune 500 executive turn red in the face, according to this. Quite frankly, these members can retire younger. They don't have to contribute nearly as much of their own money than almost any worker in the country. They get better benefits and retirement benefits than other federal workers get, all because they're elected. And they go through the FERS, the Federal Employees Retirement System. And essentially, when you look at this Federal Employees Retirement System, on average, with 16 years of service, according to a Congressional Research Service report, these Congress people earn about $39,576 a year in pension. Now, you want to talk about the private sector worker? After a private sector works his whole life, according to the Employees Benefits Research Institute, the average annual pension they get is about $8,800, and that's if they have a pension. So, let's look at this in play. These Congress people are making sure they're getting almost $40,000 a year, and we're not even getting $9,000. And they're doing it with our tax money. What's going on?
Oh yeah, well that, and you got to think they're also setting themselves up. They were probably rich before they got there. Most of them are. They're getting richer while they're there. Most of them are. And then when they get out, if they're lawyers or if they have an otherwise useless journalism degree or something like that, they can go out and they're gonna pick up work. Whether it's anything. So it's like, they're double. They go in loaded, so they don't need the pension. They get loaded, so they don't need the pension. They pay up their pension, and it's definitely not tied to performance because they can't balance a budget. You can't stay within the parameters of the Constitution much. They can't seem to legislate anything except spending more money to try and juice the economy. So they're miserable failures at their task. And then when they get out, a lot of them follow the routes to the lobbyists. A lot of them go back and do the disgusting act of lobbying and stuff like that. They join law firms and they join PR firms. But they're dipping on that, too. They're taking the former congressman or former senator title and turning that into money, too. So it's just political class. Yeah, you suck. They don't. That's the way it goes. Sorry.
Yeah, well, you're right. You're right. I mean, and after 1986, this all changed in 1986. In 1986, the plans changed. So any senator or representative elected after 1986 has access to three different retirement plans. It's not a single retirement plan. They have access to three different ones. They've got access to Social Security, a 401K, okay, and then they've got the FERS. Now, the 401K matches 5% of their contributions up to $17,500, which essentially is what it is for most of us. But they get involved in this FERS plan because when you look at Social Security and the 401K and all that, the matching is basically 1-to-1. For every dollar they put in, they get matched a dollar. But when you get into the FERS program, the Federal Employee Retirement Program, for every dollar they put in, they get 14 back. Now you think about that. This is according to Jim Kessler. He's a former congressional aide, and he runs the think tank Third Way. So when we look at all of this in play, we wonder why we're broke. Now, you know, we don't have thousands and thousands and thousands of congressmen and women, obviously, that are retired. But this is an example of the same kind of retirement systems that we have in each state. You know, when you get into the Kentucky pension programs, when you get into Indiana, Ohio, you know, all these other states, their retirement programs essentially mirror the federal programs in many ways.
Yep.
When it comes to government employees and state employees and things like that. So, you know,
we've got to start looking at the same in Kentucky. When you look at the law, you know, the electeds, and they, you know, they're doing the high five, as we always call it, the high three, whatever, and their pensions are fully funded. All the while, the Kentucky retirement system pensions are $32 billion underfunded. But, you know, they made sure, on top of everything else, they made sure reserve was funded. So, yeah, it's just, I always use the term when I'm online, it's the political class. It's like, Ed, you don't get to question them. They're
right.
Special. They're important. They're better than you. But when they're on the campaign trail, you know, they're looking out for the little guy. We're all Americans, you know, equal opportunity, blah, blah, blah. But, they're at people out of their words. They're better than you.
You know, and I think ultimately, and you know, I'm going to give credit here once again, because when I look at this, I mean, congressmen aren't affected by the sequester at all. While everybody else has to suffer through this so-called sequester and these automatic cuts, their pensions don't get cut like everybody else's does. But this is what makes it important, because I have to go back to the local situation here in Louisville and think of Maryland. You know who I'm talking about.
Maryland Parker.
Maryland Parker, right. And, you know, we've got to think of Maryland Parker, because Maryland Parker is elected to the Louisville Metro Council. This is her first term. And she could do what everybody else does and accept a government pension and everything else. And she declined
the
government pension.
Nobody would have said a thing.
No, there would have been no backlash, no nothing. But she is so strong in her beliefs that she should suffer if everybody else is suffering, because we're not doing our job, that she turned down her government pension opportunity, you know. And that's at a local level. These local people, now, you know, I've never been a big fan of Marilyn Parker, and I'm not going to change that today. But I love the example that she set with that, and I've got to give her credit. And, you know, if we could get more and more people to set this example, or more and more of us to tell Congress, hey, look, if we're going to suffer, you're going to suffer. Fair is fair here, and hold these guys accountable for that. We wouldn't see
these
problems.
Did you hear the Harry?
But, you know, when you think about Marilyn Parker, you also think back to when all the council critters and everything were talking about, oh, well, I'll furlough myself, whatever it was, you know, 7 days pay or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Then after the fact, the idiots like Dan Johnson were like, oh, well, I don't remember saying that. You know, they couldn't figure out how to do it. And she's walking away from the pension entirely. And,
sure.
You know, and she's not a career person in politics. And I'm sure if she got rolling and could lock down her precinct and everything, or her district, I'm sure she could make a pretty good pension, because, you know, once they get in, it's hard to get them out. So, I mean, she could stay in a number of years, but she's, from the get-go, she's saying no pension. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised at some point down the road she says, you know what, not only do no pension, I'm going to cut my, you know, it'd be interesting to see if she says I cut my staff and I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to take a raise or something, because she is very principled. I'll give her that much.
Well, that's very true. Go ahead, Mayo.
No, I was going to say, speaking of sequester, I mean, the BS that came out of Harry Reid's mouth today, you were in the service, I was in the service, I don't know about Ed Martin, but the Marines, that the mortar accident that got killed, and he got on and blamed the sequester for the death of the Marines, saying that they didn't have the money for the training in boot camp. And I'm sitting here going, yay-hoo. They were out of boot camp. They were like in their A school, like AIT in the Army, Advanced Infantry School, or the A school in the Navy. They'd already been through boot camp, because they don't teach you how to fire a mortar in boot camp in the Marine Corps. And I'm just sitting here going, how gullible is the public that he feels that he can say this?
How lazy is the media if they won't call his ass on it?
Oh, there's some out there. I mean, you know.
Oh, you definitely got a point there. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But that just goes to show you. I mean, these guys will lie, cheat, and steal, and manipulate anything they can, just to make sure that you know they can stay in power. I mean, that's all it boils down to. Now they're screaming and hollering about sequester cuts over this accidental killing. You know, and you're right, Mayo. But what are we doing about it to stop these kind of lies, though? Because we're not. We're not. We're continuing letting these guys go forward. And that's the real problem. Finally, we're going into overdrive, but I want to put this out real quick, and I apologize to the listeners. Give me 2 minutes. But Adam Lanza, everybody knows what's going on right now with the gun bills and all the other crap. They're trying to take away the AK-47s, AR-15s, trying to limit the magazines, all the other stupid stuff that ain't going to stop crime that they're doing in Congress. And they're doing all this because of Adam Lanza. The Newtown shooting up at Sandy Hook Elementary School, Adam Lanza, the troubled child who went out, the mentally deranged kid who went out and shot all these students. The problem was he had a gun, and it's everybody else's fault. Well, here's the thing. We had a story come out that I did not get to, and I apologize for that to my listeners, but I did not get to this last night. But Adam Lanza, there is a story out that says that Lanza had been doing this, had been plotting this for a long time. He was keeping meticulous records on mass murders for many years. Now, this is the same guy where his mother decided it was okay to teach a kid how to shoot a gun when he was antisocial and everything else. But he'd been keeping records about mass murderers for years and learning from this and discovering how to do this. They said that the investigators, according to New York Daily News, the investigators found a spreadsheet that was 7 feet long and 4 feet wide that required a special printer. It was a document that contained all of Lanza's obsessive, extensive research in 9-point font about mass murders of the past and attempted murders so that he could learn from them. Now, you tell me, is all these gun bans going to stop this kind of behavior?
No, he's a smart kid. He was learned,
right,
and he did his research.
Well, that's exactly it, man. That's exactly it. The boy researched every bit of it, planned it down to the bottom line, went to the place that was going to have nobody to stop him, and did what he did. And for people that are crazy like that, for kids like that who are given access to weapons, you need to blame the parents. His mom paid the ultimate price, obviously. She was the first one killed. But the bottom line is, let's not quit. You know, let's quit trying to take away American rights and violate the Second Amendment, because you're not going to stop crazy people from doing what crazy people want to do. Mayo, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Ed, final thoughts.
Oh, gosh, where do you go with final thoughts? You know, I go back to Richie Farmer. You know, I don't think there's anything unique about Richie Farmer. I just think that he's probably was just a little more one-dimensional. And didn't cover his tracks as well as others. And it's just like that, and you take that and you put that in line with the pension, and you just, you know, Harry Reid standing up saying absolutely stupid stuff and for the most part getting away with it. You know, it's political class and it's us. They're really, you know, there is a rich and a poor and a, you know, a privileged and underprivileged classes, but, you know, at its root, is the stratification that we've got. We've got a ruling class, an arrogant political class, and we've got us. And the strangest thing is they can't do what they do without us acquiescing. They can't do it without our permission, yet we give them permission every 2, 4, 6 years to do this to us. And it's
right.
Sometimes, you know, people got to wake up and just, you know, trust me, you know, everybody talks, it's like, you know, whatever it is, 98% of the incumbents get elected, some insane number. It's like, you know, wouldn't it just be nice 1 year if only like 40% of them got reelected? You know, serve them notice. It won't hurt. You know, there's plenty of competent people. We got 300 million people in the country. We can find competent people. Just grow a set and kick these bastards out. And, you know, of course, the ones that are remaining, if they don't straighten up, kick them out the next cycle. But that's a message that will be delivered.
Well, that's it, man. I totally agree with you. Bottom line, folks, it's time to get involved. You know, as we started the show, we talked about Richie Farmer, former UK basketball player who had an entitlement mentality his whole life, is now facing the most charges ever against an official, 42 ethics violations in the state of Kentucky. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of what we really can do if our leaders were willing to hold people accountable. And that means we've got to hold the Democrats accountable as well. I have no love lost for Richie Farmer. He did these things, at least some of these things we know that he did. I don't know about 42 counts. I have not seen the evidence of 42 counts. But I am sure that he committed at least 5 of these that I've been able to verify. And he needs to be held accountable for that. But we need to hold everybody accountable. The Democrats have control in Kentucky, so they want to go after Republicans for everything they can. But I think it's a two-way street. We've got to get through and understand that ethics problems and everything else are a bipartisan problem. They are not a partisan problem. This affects both sides of the aisle. Finally, we continue going through and going forward, and we're continuing to talk about minimum wage hikes. We're continuing to talk about the cost of goods, and we go all the way up to and including Adam Lanza, we just talked about, you know, planning these mass murders for years and years and years. He actually studied this before he went on a shooting rampage at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newton, Connecticut. You know, what I want to know, what I want everybody to think about is this. You know, when people have their backs against the wall is when they become most violent. It's no different than a rabid dog. When you put a rabid dog in a corner, that rabid dog is going to fight back. So we continue with this economic disparity we have in this country. When we continue making the poor poorer and the rich richer, we see this increase in crime. We see this increase in lack of morals, lack of ethics, all the other things that are going on in America today. It can all be traced back to the economy. It really can. The economy, you know, I was once told in my life that the money will tell everything. Follow the money and you'll know everything. And I think that's true in our daily lives. When we start looking at the wreck that we've got in this economy, we start looking at the Congress people allowing themselves not to have to suffer the way that we do, then we've got some serious problems. They are the elite. We are the ones that they want to control with their thumbs on top of our head. Get out of your shell. Get out of the box. Get involved. We don't need to be raising more Adam Lanzas. We don't need to be taking away guns. We need to start empowering people with the mind, giving them the knowledge, and letting them get started in making a positive difference in your local community and work from there. Eventually, we'll get rid of these slugs, and we'll do things the right way. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, Dale the Truth will be with us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Don't forget the TNT Thursday Night Truth show at 7, and our good friend Kim Molman on Sunday night with Liberty Unbridled. All shows at 7 o'clock right here on the MVM Radio Network at BTR. Check out LouisvillePolitics.com, and I thank you all so much for listening. Mr. Martin, have a great week, sir.
You have a great one, too, sir.
Always. Take care, folks. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Thank you.